Hello and welcome to Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. I'm your aptly named host, and this is show number 180. We started this show in July of 2010. Oh, I'm glad you're with me. I'd suffer the embarrassment of desquamative gingivitis if it came within my ken that you had missed today's show, a very big show. Philanthropy Face-Off, Atlas of Giving, and Giving USA. Since Atlas of Giving announced its review of 2013 fundraising in January, there's been tension between them and Giving USA in other philanthropy media. Today, for the first time, they'll be together rather than talking at each other. These organizations have two things in common. Each prepares a broad analysis of fundraising results. Each has problems with the way the other measures and forecasts. We'll talk through their issues around accuracy, methodology, and relevance. It's a face-off, so I'll be the referee, which is ironic that I'm using a sports metaphor because I got my varsity letter in announcing, but I'll fill the role. It got the attention of Forbes.com. They dubbed it the philanthropy food fight. If that's what it is, I'll be cafeteria cop. We have guest live tweeters. Alex Daniels, a reporter for the Chronicle of Philanthropy. He's at Alex Daniels, COP. The Chronicle is retweeting his tweets. And Lynette Singleton. Lynette is a big, loyal fan of Nonprofit Radio and principal of Singleton Consulting Group. She's at SCG, the number 4, nonprofits. We are taking your questions on Twitter. Use hashtag Nonprofit Radio. We are monitoring that hashtag here in the studio. On Tony's Take Two today, I have a professional development survey on my blog, and I'd be grateful for your help. We're sponsored by Rallybound, peer-to-peer fundraising, and by TBRC, saving you money on credit card processing fees. It's a pleasure to welcome my guests. Rob Mitchell is CEO of Atlas of Giving. On Twitter, he's at Philanthroman. Also looks to me like at Philanthroman. Can think of it either way. He's in the studio, and he also has another Twitter ID, at Atlas of Giving. Greg Carlson is chair of the Giving USA Foundation. He's at Giving USA on Twitter and is with us from Henderson, Nevada. If you're going to be in Nevada, I'm not sure why you would choose Henderson, but welcome, Greg Carlson. Una Osili is director of research at Indiana University, the Lilly Family School of Philanthropy. She's the researcher for Giving USA. On Twitter, she is at IU Philanthropy, and she's with us from Indianapolis. We have the West, we have the Heartland, and the East Coast. We have a special structure to start today to keep things balanced. We're going to start with a back and forth. We're going to start with Greg is going to take 60 seconds to describe Giving USA, and then 60 seconds for Rob to describe the Atlas of Giving. Rob is then going to ask Giving USA a question, and either or both Greg and Una can answer. And we're going to record how long Greg and Una take to answer. Greg is then going to ask Rob at Atlas of Giving a question, and Rob will have the same amount of time that Giving USA took. And we're going to put a 5-minute maximum on the question answers. So 5-minute maximum for each side, but of course, Rob gets however much time Greg and Una take. We'll be monitoring. Don't worry. If you're confused, we have it under control here. And then we're going to repeat this a second time. So by the second time we do it, you'll be familiar with exactly what we're doing. And the second time, we'll start again with Rob asking a question of Giving USA. And then after that round, we're going to take our first break. And then when we return, we'll be a little more back to normal. And I'll have some questions. And maybe there will be questions from Twitter. If you have questions for our guests today, please use the hashtag Nonprofit Radio. So let me first welcome everybody. Rob, Greg, Una, welcome.
Thanks, Tony.
Thank you. Thank you, Tony.
It's a pleasure to have all three of you. We're going to start with Greg. We do have a timer, Greg, here in the studio. We're timing. We're going to give you 60 seconds to describe Giving USA. So please do that.
Well, thank you, Tony. Given that the mission of the Giving USA Foundation is to advance the research, education, and the public understanding of philanthropy, we welcome today's conversation. Now, most know of the foundation's work through Giving USA, the annual report on philanthropy, which we have produced for over 55 years. We always are pleased to share what we do and how we do it, all with the goal of helping the fundraising practitioner answer the question, so what does this mean to me and to my organization? Una and I are pleased to be with you today.
All right. Thank you very much. That was way under a minute. Thank you very much, Greg. Glad to have you and Una with us. Rob Mitchell, you get a minute to describe the Atlas of Giving.
Well, first of all, Tony, thanks for hosting this discussion. The Atlas of Giving, my original goal was to create a tool that I never had access to in 30 years as a practitioner. I was looking for a timely benchmark of giving for comparative purposes and a reliable, regularly updated forecast so that I could raise more money by timing events and promotions and creating budgets based on real data. I wanted it to be useful for working fundraisers, nonprofit leaders, board members, and the press and the public. The Atlas of Giving is about looking forward. We monitor the velocity and trajectory of charitable giving. We've got our finger on the pulse of American philanthropy. The Atlas is a high-fidelity monthly benchmark of U.S. giving by sector, source, and state, and the only highly reliable forecast of charitable giving for each of the next 12 months. With the Atlas, we know what is happening in giving each month and can schedule fundraising events and promotions at times when they'll get the best results. We can also create and revise budgets based on a reliable forecast.
Rob Mitchell, thank you very much. There's the timer you just heard. All right. We're going to have Rob now is going to ask a question of Giving USA. Greg and Una, either or both of you can answer, but there's a 5-minute maximum combined for both of you. Okay, is that clear?
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Okay, cool. All right, Rob, please.
Thanks, Greg and Una, for participating. By the way, so my first question is, what would you tell working fundraisers and nonprofit leaders about how to use Giving USA information to raise more money this year and plan their upcoming fiscal year budgets?
Greg, Una?
Well, I'll go ahead and take that, I think, the first crack at that. We may tag team this, Tony, if
sure.
That's okay.
Yes, it is.
So, Rob, in terms of how the advancement professionals and development professionals in our field use our information. With Giving USA, we're identifying true patterns and trends. And I say true because there's some patterns and trends that might not be as appropriate in terms of measurement as you're making plans as other ideas, and we can talk about what some examples might be of that. But the practitioners in the world, in our field, really use Giving USA to see where the money's coming from and where the money's going to. And so specifically then to identify the overall giving patterns that would then enable them to know where to think about investing additional resources as we move forward. Una, what would you add to that?
I would just add that Giving USA provides an overall context for nonprofits to understand trends within their own sectors.
Oh. Go ahead, Una.
Oh, okay. Giving USA allows nonprofits to understand trends within their own sectors, but also provides them with an in-depth view of what's happening throughout the sector. We really strongly believe that Giving USA is an important tool for fundraisers, but it should be used alongside other resources depending on the nonprofit's need. We should also emphasize that in this sector, nonprofits experience a lot of volatility in their fundraising activities. There's a lot of month-to-month fluctuation as far as making decisions. For a researcher, what this means is that there's a trade-off between the information that's widely available and the information that's accurate. And so one big hallmark for us has been that trade-off between speed and accuracy.
Okay.
The nonprofit sector needs data quickly, but the nonprofit sector also needs reliable data in order to make planning decisions, budgeting decisions, and so forth. And so one of the, I think, hallmarks of Giving USA has been to make sure that information provided is reliable while providing an overall context of what's happening in the sector.
Okay. We're going to stop there. That was 2 minutes and 2 minutes and 35 seconds. And Greg, would you kindly ask Rob a question, and then we'll give him the same amount of time to answer.
Sure, thank you. I think we would all agree that the volunteer board and development professionals we serve need and deserve accurate information. Rob, for your company's product, what outside data and process do you use to validate the estimate you initially release?
It's probably best, Greg, to talk first about how we created it. Because what we did was we assembled a team of 25 PhD-level statisticians and analysts, and we actually took 42 years of Giving USA data, and I thank you for the work that you've done over the past five decades. We could not have created the Atlas of Giving without Giving USA. What we were looking for was we use correlation science. And so what we were looking for, based on the data that we had from what was available, what factors, what economic and demographic factors correlated to giving, both, for the national number, for sectors, each of nine sectors, and each of four sources. And so we've been able to determine what exactly those factors are, those economic factors for each sector, for each source, and for each state now. And what we're able to do then is we were able to build an algorithm. We have 65 different algorithms, one for each sector, each source, and each state, and the national number. And the interesting thing is that the factors involved for, say, individual giving are very different, and their strengths are very different from those involved in corporate giving, as you might imagine. And so our technology is proven. It's used by hedge funds. It's used by the Federal Reserve Bank and others. It's correlation science is a proven way to do this kind of analysis.
Greg, you have about another half a minute if you want to use it. Only go ahead. If you like. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I said the wrong name. Sorry. Rob, you have about another 35 seconds if you would like to use it.
Sure. The last thing I'd like to say is there has been there's been a lot of stuff in the press about transparency and so forth, and I'll just reemphasize what I said a few weeks ago, which is we would actively look for a major research university to enter into an agreement with us to evaluate everything that we do and everything that we've done and look for new research opportunities using our data and our technology.
Okay. Thank you very much. Rob, you can ask another question of Greg and Una, and we'll record how long they take to answer that question. Go ahead, please, Rob.
Sure. So I'm curious about this. In the past 12 years, the number of nonprofits in the U.S. has grown 60%. Over that same period of time, new technology is dramatically improving fundraising results for many, if not most, nonprofits. Donor-advised funds now account for more than 4% of charitable giving each year, and they're growing at a phenomenal rate. Online giving is skyrocketing in popularity, and yet, in spite of all this trend upward, the Giving USA answer for charitable giving in the United States seems to be stuck at 2% of real GDP each year. And so my question is, does that bother you?
Greg Una? Greg?
Well, what I would say to that, Rob, is that as we do our analysis, we are taking into account hundreds of variables. We've tested over 700 variables of issues that correlate with giving in order to develop our report. And so as we work through our report, we are doing a number of things, which would include the use of the Advisory Council on Methodology, which is an outside group that we've organized, which their main job is to challenge both our process and our sources, asking how can we do better. And that's how we begin each and every year as we lay out the process of developing our report. And then secondly, it's critical that we have an outstanding researcher, and we have the best in the business with the Indiana University Lilly School of Philanthropy. And their credibility is second to none when it comes to these kinds of questions. And so as we develop our annual report, this is the process that we go through in terms of determining how we're going to then share with our sector the results and our findings. Una, what would you add to that?
Yes, I think the question Rob poses is a very intriguing one. He says, how can we change that percentage from 2%? And we agree that it is indeed certainly an important issue, but it will take a lot to move that needle. This takes us back to the question at hand, which is how does GivingUSA actually obtain its numbers? I just want to emphasize that GivingUSA estimates rely on econometric methods that are developed not just at the Lilly Family School, but that we indeed share those results, as Greg mentioned, with the Advisory Council on Methodology, which includes leading researchers from institutions throughout the country. During its history, GivingUSA has tested over 700 variables that potentially correlate with charitable giving by households, by corporations, and foundations. And I should mention that in every single period before we release GivingUSA, we verify and validate this data. And we also consider if anything in the environment needs to be taken into account. So over time, we've added to that 700 variable list by looking at additional factors that may have the potential to affect charitable giving, including economic and demographic variables. So I just want to emphasize the 2% number is one that we have looked at very closely. Our Advisory Council methodology is well aware of, and our users are well aware of. But to change that percentage will require not just the work of the nonprofit fundraisers, but also our whole society being involved as well.
All right, that was 3 minutes. So we're going to now have Greg is going to ask Rob a question, and Rob will have 3 minutes to respond. Greg, go ahead.
Actually, Una, I think you're next.
Oh, okay. Una, you have a question?
Okay, very good. Well, I will just use this minute just to mention a few points that address Tony's question. He said there's been a growth in online giving, which is true. It's now about 5% of all giving. And certainly donor advised funds are rising part of the fundraising landscape and philanthropic landscape as well. But we should keep in mind...
Una? Una?
Yes, I'm on the
okay.
I'm on the call.
Okay, last thing we heard you say was keep in mind you're posing a question now to Rob, right?
Oh yes, I'm posing a question to Rob, but I also wanted to just very quickly mention that a few of the points that Rob raised, such as the rise in online giving and also the use of donor advice.
Well, Una, I got to stop you. You're transgressing a little bit.
Stick to the question.
Yeah, it's not jargon jail. Typically, I have jargon jail, but it's not that.
Okay, the
Please.
Second question for Rob is the scientific process really depends on verification and validation of estimates. In particular, for the monthly and state and sectoral estimates that you present, what data source is used to ultimately verify and validate those data sources? Because at least it's not exactly clear, given that the methodology is not necessarily shared widely, how that verification and validation process is taking place?
Well, first of all, we do not use, we don't use old IRS data. We're not using any surveys. The Atlas of Giving, as I said, is based on correlation science. And so we've identified the factors that and their strengths as they relate to each sector and each source. And those factors include regularly vetted and regularly reported economic and demographic data, things like the Case-Shiller home price index. We use GDP, of course. We use there is one source that actually correlates to auto parts sales, which we're not saying that that's a cause, but it actually auto part sales is important in that particular algorithm, which is not unlike the Fed. They've actually decided that auto part sales are important to an important correlation to the banking business. So the factors that we're using are regularly reported by the government and sound economic and demographic groups that give this information. And our algorithms, if you're looking for me to say that our algorithms have been vetted by the University of Indiana, I'm not going to say that because, of course, it's not true. But again, I would emphasize we'd welcome the opportunity for a major research university to look at what we're doing and evaluate and comment on it.
Rob, you have about another minute and 20 seconds. You can continue. Whether answering that question or anything else, but you get 3 minutes.
Okay. I would just say that, you know, again, in terms of utility, what we're most interested in, as I said in my opening statement, is velocity and trajectory of giving. And as someone who practiced fundraising for 30 years, I was really interested in not just what happened a year and a half ago or 2 years ago. I was interested in what's happening this month, last month, and what's going to happen in the next 12 months. And that's what we're really all about.
Okay. Wow. I am not accustomed to this formal structure. This is not typical of nonprofit radio. So people joining us for the first time, we don't usually have time limits and things like this. You'll see that after this break. We're going to take our first break. And when we come back, I've got some questions. I have a question from my blog, and we'll see if we get any live questions. If you want to join the conversation, join us on Twitter and use hashtag nonprofit radio to ask your question. Stay with us.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Do you need a business plan that can guide your company's growth? Covenant 7 will help bring the changes you need. We are small business consultants, and we pay attention to the details you may miss. Our coaching and consulting services are guaranteed to lead to right growth for your business. Call us at 917-833-4860 for a no-obligation free consultation. Check out our website at www.covenant7.com.
Are you stuck in your business or career? Trying to take your business to the next level and it keeps hitting a wall? This is Sam Leibowitz, the Conscious Consultant. I will help you get to the root cause of your abundance issues and help move you forward in your life. Call me now and let's create the future you dream of. 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. The Conscious Consultant, helping conscious people be better business people.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Welcome back to Big Nonprofit Ideas for the Other 95%. We've got a ton of live listener love. Hamburg, Pennsylvania, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, Dallas, Texas, Atlanta, Georgia, New Bern, North Carolina, Locust Grove, Virginia, Corvallis, Oregon, Indianapolis, Indiana. Live listener love to all of you. There's more in the U.S., but we're going to go abroad. We've got Guangzhou, China, and Kunming, China. Ni hao. In Japan, we've got Tokyo and Yokohama. Konnichiwa. And we've also got Korea, South Korea, always loyally checking in. Ansan and Gunpo. Anyo Hasayo. Oh, and also Seoul, Korea. Greg and Una, we got your message that you're experiencing a bit of a delay. We want to make sure you're not listening on your computer. You should just be listening to the conference number that you dialed into. If you're listening on your computer, then that would definitely cause a delay. So if you're doing that, the best thing to do would be to mute your computer and just listen on the phone, and hopefully that will correct the problem. Let's see. Okay, I want to make sure that listeners understand the methodology and whether the methodology is pretty much the same between the two, but using different variables, or whether it's actually different. Now, I think I'm going to speak for a lot of people. I think and Greg and Una, this first one is for you. I think a lot of people believe that that GivingUSA uses surveys, and you did for many years use surveys, but then you changed, and I think it was in 2010. First of all, do I have that history correct? You're no longer using surveys?
Let me correct this, because it's a
okay.
really important issue. GivingUSA is based on an econometric model. It includes econometric analysis and tabulations. GivingUSA does not depend on a survey. It does not use a survey. In fact, what it uses are data sources, including IRS data from the Bureau of Economic Analysis, the philanthropy panel study, which does provide an estimate of non-itemizer giving. We use data from various sources within the nonprofit sector, including the Urban Institute's National Center for Charitable Statistics, which provides the data on the uses, the subsectors, including education, health, the arts, and the environment. So I think there's a need to clarify that GivingUSA is based on an econometric model providing estimates. So it is basically an estimate of giving that relies on the most reliable and most up-to-date data available. I should also mention another distinguishing characteristic of GivingUSA is that it's extremely transparent. It's been peer-reviewed. The econometric model on which GivingUSA is based on has actually been published and in a peer-reviewed journal, NVSQ. Because of its transparency and its commitment to transparency, GivingUSA is in fact replicable and verifiable. Anybody, whether a researcher, a nonprofit practitioner, or a fundraiser, can reference the data and actually see how those estimates were derived.
All right.
In addition, GivingUSA updates those estimates as more recent and updated data becomes available from government sources and other industry aggregates, and releases those revised estimates. Over time, GivingUSA has proven to be extremely reliable. To give you a sense of the reliability of GivingUSA from the initial to the final estimates between 2004-2011, those estimates were between 1.4% difference. The difference between the original and the final estimate was 1.4%, and the median difference was 1.1%.
Okay, oh, no, I'm going
to...
Okay, I'm gonna ask you to stop there.
Yes.
But I do want to ask about the history, though. What in the past wasn't it a survey based model? I understand it's not now. I understand, but
yes.
in the past, and what was it a survey based model for years?
Yes, in the past, when GivingUSA first began, it did do a survey of different subsectors. Now, why did we switch it? When the data from those charities, the 990 EZs and the 990 forms, became available, we were able to actually provide an estimate of those subsectors using the most recent and up-to-date IRS data available through a partnership with the National Center on Charitable Statistics.
Okay.
So that's actually when that switch took place, when we're able to develop comprehensive econometric models for each of the subsectors.
Okay. And was that switch in 2010?
No, that was done in 2005 for the subsectors. Prior to that, since we have been doing the work, which is at the beginning of this decade, so in 2000 is when we started an econometric model for all the sources and for the uses that only became possible when the NCCS, that's the National Center for Charitable Statistics, began a partnership with the Lilly Family School.
Okay.
Back then, it was the Center on Philanthropy.
All right. So, Rob, we have methodology based on econometric modeling and peer reviewed. How is the Atlas of Giving different?
Well, I can't say that we're peer reviewed. We'd like to be peer reviewed, but we're also a business, and so. In the same way that Coca-Cola isn't going to release out of their safe their formula for making Coke, we're not going to release that either. But what we will do is we'd be happy to partner with a major research university in a controlled environment to look, and we would be willing to show anything. We show all 65 algorithms. We'd be happy to show them anything they'd like to see. We've been able to reconstruct monthly giving data by sector, source, and state back to 1968. We'd be happy to show them that database. So we're not allergic to transparency. We just need transparency to protect our proprietary intellectual property.
Una, would the Indiana University be interested in partnering with the Atlas of Giving?
Absolutely. We'd be delighted. And I think that the hallmark of any data estimate that's used in the nonprofit sector has to be that transparency and also verification and validation. So we would welcome the opportunity to share our process with Atlas and work jointly with them to verify and validate their data. And what that validation entails is actually comparing the actual prediction with what happened in the sector. And so I think that's an important process for increasing confidence and strength of the estimate for Atlas of Giving.
Right,
so we welcome that opportunity, and we'd be able to share it with the field more broadly, not just to check the data for internal purposes, but we would welcome that opportunity so that we can, in fact, share the broader results with the rest of the nonprofit sector.
Okay, well, I'm not committing Rob Mitchell to extending an offer to the Indiana University. I was just wondering if the university would be interested, but no, certainly I'm not speaking on behalf of the Atlas of Giving. Rob, let me ask you about the Atlas and Una's point about verification of your data.
Well, in the same way that they validate their data with their own internal sources and their own systems, as she said, they revised their estimate a couple of times after the original estimate comes out, generally. Our estimate is one thing, and our forecast is something else. And our forecast has been very reliable. On a month-to-month basis, it's over 98% reliable. Now, this is based on the numbers that we calculate, not on the numbers that Giving USA calculates, right? So if you're looking for something to compare our forecast to Giving USA's estimate, it isn't going to happen because we've found that the correlations that we've identified for each sector, source, and state for giving in the U.S., our numbers have diverged pretty significantly. I mean, you can go and look at the Atlas numbers over the last few years and look at Giving USA, and you can see a very different story being painted.
Well, so how in the heck do we know who's right? Let's bring Greg Carlson back in. If you're both so divergent, how do we know that? How do we know who's right?
Well, this is a key question that you're asking, Tony.
Yeah, you know, I know.
Rob, I was very pleased personally when a couple of years ago your company took on the very difficult task of getting into the forecasting and prediction business because, honestly, our industry and sector would greatly benefit from an accurate forecast. But as I look at your own analysis using not our numbers but your numbers, over the last 2 years of your forecast, you've been off by a total of about $50 billion. And so, you know, I'm just confused as to why you're saying that your accuracy on your forecast is at whatever high percentage you claim it to be.
Okay. Well, we've actually done the reliability calculations, and month to month, since 2011, month to month, we're more than 98% reliable. On a three-month basis, we're 97% reliable. On a six-month basis, 95.3% reliable. On a 12-month basis, 93.3% reliable. And the thing you have to remember, Greg, is our forecast, like any forecast, conditions change. And the example that I would give you is 2001. 2001 was shaping up to be a pretty good giving year. And then September 11th occurred, and giving dropped off significantly for the last quarter of the year and into the first quarter of the next year. So we update our forecast every month, and we report that. And by the way, we give our information away for free.
Okay, it's...
What I would say to that, Rob, is that the average practitioner is needing information to make investment and budget decisions and the boards that they are working with as to where they're going to put their time and resources. Typically, with all the institutions I've ever worked with, they're typically doing their budget and planning process 6 months before either the beginning of a calendar year or a fiscal year. And so when someone gets into the prediction forecasting business, and so, for instance, in 2013, this past year, where you forecasted that giving would be nearly flat at 1.6%, but then using your own number, it actually increased by nearly 13%. How is a practitioner actually then to use that information with the fact that they're having to do their budget that much ahead of time? They would have missed this philanthropic giving opportunity had they decided to conserve their budget with that initial estimate of just 1.6%.
Well, as a practitioner for 30 years, I can give you the answer to that question. In terms of budgeting, yeah, the forecast changes. I mean, things change. 9/11 happens. The Asian tsunami happens. Events happen. And we're keeping our finger on the pulse of American philanthropy. So as things change, the forecast changed. And that was true last year, yes. Our forecast at the beginning of 2013 was very, very modest, almost flat, as you said, and it turned out to be a fantastic giving year. If I was just trying to validate the Atlas of Giving, we try to make our numbers come out exactly to the forecast, and we didn't do that. And if you want to call that transparency, I think that's pretty transparent. Because we finished, you know, we reported that giving was up more than 13% last year. And that was after our first, and I want to say the first of 12 forecast for monthly forecast updated for 2013. So as a practitioner, I would say set your budget based on the best data you have and then monitor and update the budget as conditions change.
All right, we have to take a little time. It's Tony time now, so everybody can take a breather, because I want to recognize our sponsors that help me to produce incredible shows like today's. Rallybound supports the show. For our live tweeters, please would you please give a shout out to at Rallybound. Rallybound makes simple, reliable peer-to-peer fundraising campaigns. It's friends asking friends to give to your cause. As a nonprofit radio listener, you will get a discount. People have been doing that. I'm very glad people are claiming the discount and calling, talking to Rallybound. It does not have to be an event. It could be any fundraising campaign. As an example, Grades of Green in Los Angeles used Rallybound to raise $22,000. It was their youth corps, grades 3 to 12. And each member of the youth corps set up personal pages to ask their friends to give. They raised $22,000. 3rd through 12th graders. They're at rallybound.com, or you can just pick up the phone and talk to someone. You talk to Joe McGee. He'll answer your questions about setting up a campaign. I know Joe. I had breakfast with Rallybound CEO Shmuley. They're good guys, or else I wouldn't have them as a sponsor. It's rallybound.com, or, as I said, talk to Joe McGee. 888-767-9076. We're also sponsored by TBRC Cost Recovery. Live tweeters, please use tbrc.com to give a shout to TBRC. tbrc.com. They save you money on credit card fees. When donors make a credit card gift, they don't change your company processing those credit card transactions. They're not changing processors. TBRC talks to your existing credit card processor to get them to lower the fee that they charge you on each and every transaction. If they don't lower your rate, you don't pay them. It's Yosef Rabinowitz. He is the genius behind the company. I've known Yosef for nearly 10 years. He's no pressure. I wouldn't work with somebody like that. You can talk to him at 212-644-9000 or tbrc.com. I have a professional development survey on my blog. I'm interested in what it is that you do to keep current and fresh in your work. Naturally, nonprofit radio is at the core of your professional development. But what else? What's on the periphery around that nonprofit radio core? Webinars, conferences, blogs, books, whatever it is, I'm interested in it. Doesn't matter whether you're in a nonprofit or you do consulting, I'm interested in how you keep up with what's new. That survey is on my blog at tonymartinetti.com. That is Tony's Take Two for Friday, 21st of February. Eighth show of the year. And as I mentioned, 180th show. let's unpack a few things that came up in conversation there. The question of a forecast. Greg, Una, does Giving USA provide a forecast for what will happen in the coming year?
Let me take that question. So let's just be clear. The estimates that Giving USA provides are a projection, because the most recent IRS data that we have is actually only available with a 2-year lag. So we are ultimately in the process of actually providing a forecast, even about the current year that we're in, because the most up-to-date government data is not available until 2 years after the fact. So I do want to raise the point about a forecast. It's an important one. I agree with Greg. There's a need for more data, more reliable data within the sector. But we are concerned about at least the discussion around a monthly estimate or monthly forecast, because there isn't an ultimate check of that estimate within the field, because the IRS does not actually publish monthly data. So there would be no way to confirm or not confirm how accurate that forecast was against what actually happened. So the example I would give to sort of explain what a forecast is, the weather forecast is one that we all know well, but we can always check how reliable the weatherman was, because we know what happened in terms of, was it snowy, was it rainy. The challenge with at least the description of Atlas of Giving, we don't ultimately know how this is done because it's not transparently provided, is that there isn't an ultimate benchmark for that monthly forecast or even the regional forecast that have been described.
Okay. Rob, you want to talk about the forecast?
Sure. We provide a monthly benchmark.
Yeah, but she's questioning how it's validated.
The best validation is those who use it. And I would say this. You know, one of the things we've learned since creating the Atlas is how money is raised and who money is raised from makes a huge difference in an organization's success or lack of success. And in the current economy, it's been a striking couple of years in that respect, because what we've seen is that organizations and churches that rely on lots of small gifts from lots of small givers are still struggling. And the reason that they're struggling is because of the effects and after effects of high unemployment. Conversely, all you have to do is Google record giving and you'll see colleges and universities in particular and donor advised funds have had fantastic years for each of the last 3 years. And the reason why is it's directly tied to the rebound in the stock market and some rebound in real estate prices, among other things. So different, and those organizations raise money very differently. Colleges and universities, college graduates have less than a 3% unemployment rate. So unemployment is not important for the kinds of people who typically give to colleges and universities. But for a church or a large national charity like the one I used to represent, the American Cancer Society, lots of small gifts from lots of events and small donors, it's a tough time. And so your question was about validation. You know, as a practitioner, I would say if somebody presented me with the Atlas forecast, I would be completely skeptical, but I would test it. And so if you said to me, it's going to be better for me to have my event this year in August rather than October, I might not do that right away. But if it was a direct mail drop, I think I would move not the whole file, but I'd use a small percentage of the file to test and see the results in a controlled study, and then as I determined that the forecast was reliable, I could move more and more of my fundraising promotion activity to the months and times during the year when it is forecast to be the best and make more money for my organization.
We have a question from Alex Daniels. This is directed at Giving USA. Alex is a reporter for Chronicle of Philanthropy. He's live tweeting for us. He's questioning, does Giving USA provide a forecast? Una, I'm not clear, because you say you're using data that lags 2 years, but you're calling it a forecast for the future. So can you explain?
Well, let me clarify. Giving USA provides a current, so basically Giving USA this year will provide an estimate of what happened in 2013. That is because the most recent data available to us is available with a two-year lag. I want to just emphasize, so in a sense, what we're providing is already a forecast based on what data is actually available and what is possible to verify and validate. When it comes to monthly data or monthly forecasting, there is no reliable charitable giving data that exists at the monthly level on giving amounts, and most of the economic variables that would be used to create a monthly estimate, I want to be clear, I'm talking about the monthly estimate rather than a national estimate, there really isn't, government data is also available at a lag on a monthly basis. So it would be almost challenging to actually validate a monthly forecast for reasons one and two, as I've stated above. And I think the same would be said about the state-by-state aggregate giving forecasts and estimates, because in fact, no reliable data is available on giving at a state level that's available on a timely and consistent basis. Itemized individual giving by state and geography lags 2 years or more. And so geographic data on corporate and bequest data is also available at significant lags and not available at the state level in any reliable way. So I think when we're talking about a forecast, I understand the need for timely information. I think the nonprofit sector would benefit from very reliable information. But that has, there's a trade-off between accuracy and speed. And especially with the monthly forecast as we've described, it's very challenging to say how you would actually check the accuracy of that monthly forecast. And how is Atlas actually held accountable to the sector on providing a monthly estimate? Because, as we said, there's no outside data source that could be used. I think you
I'm sorry. We have to take a break. I'm sure Rob disagrees with a fair amount of what you're saying, and we're going to give him a chance, but we have to go out for this break. So please stay with us. We'll get that. We'll get Rob to respond. And then I have questions about the timing when these things come out, January versus June. And plus, we have some listener questions. Gosh, hang in there.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Have you ever considered consulting a roadmap when you feel you need help getting to your destination? When the normal path seems blocked, a little help can come in handy when choosing an alternate route. Your natal chart is a map of your potentials. It addresses relationships, finance, business, health, and above all, creativity. Current planetary cycles can either support or challenge your objectives. I'm Montgomery Taylor. If you would like to explore the help of a private astrological reading, please contact me at Monty@MontyTaylor.com. That's Monty, M-O-N-T-Y, at MontyTaylor.com.
Welcome back. We got tons more live listener love. New York, New York, Moline, Illinois, Austin, Texas, English Town, Nevada, Pittsburgh, PA. I went to college there, Carnegie Mellon. And Waltham, Mass. Live listener love to each of you. And, of course, podcast pleasantries for the 9,000 of you, more than 9,000 of you who listen in the time shift. Whether you're on your treadmill, in your car, who knows where you are, podcast pleasantries to you. And I forgot to send them last week, so I'm sending another one this week. Podcast pleasantries to everybody listening on their own schedule. Michael Baker, at M Baker CFRE, thank you very much for the shout out. We're doing the best that we can. I appreciate it. Thank you, Michael. Okay, we got to give Rob a chance to and then we're going to get off the forecast subject. Rob, you want to respond to what Una suggested about forecasts, monthly forecasts? She was talking about the monthly forecasts not being verifiable.
Well, I'll tell you one way that you can make it immediately verifiable. We offer a product on our website. For less than $200, any nonprofit or charity or church can go on our website, answer six easy questions, and backed up by a database of more than 990,000 cells, individual cells of information, they can get a fiscal year forecast of what giving will be for their organization, and they can go back and update that forecast each month for 12 months. So if the forecast works, they'll know. And I will say also that one of the services that we also provide and charge for, our regular monthly report is free, and that includes giving, monthly giving by sector, source, and state, and an updated forecast for each of the next 12 months. So that's free. But we also use our technology to build a specific model for specific organizations. And when we do that, the accuracy of what those organizations actually achieve in their fundraising and what we forecast that it would be is incredibly reliable.
Okay. I have to give a shout to Tony Macklin, M-A-C-K-L-I-N. He wanted me to ask a question about what's not covered by the Atlas or Giving USA or any other review. Tony, I'm out of time, but his concern, I'm gonna give voice to his concern, but we're not gonna respond to it. So you take a breath, because you're not gonna respond to this. There isn't time. But Tony Macklin, first of all, you can check it on my blog at tonymartinetti.com. He also blogged on his own blog, and I'm sorry I don't have the name of that, but again, I just gave you his name. His concern is that for the charitable organizations that aren't captured by data that's reported to the IRS. And I'm going to ask about churches shortly, but he's concerned about giving by people who don't itemize on their taxes, for instance, or even down to the cash that we drop in jars at counters and buckets and on street corners. He's also concerned about giving to organizations that aren't 501c3s, like advocacy organizations, civic organizations. What about crowdfunding platforms? Rallybound, our sponsor, happens to be one of those. These two parties not capturing that.
Okay,
we're not going to give voice to anything. I'm giving voice to Tony Macklin, but he's a blogger, and he was good enough to submit a question in advance. Please check his blog. Name again, Tony, M-A-C-K-L-I-N, Tony Macklin. I would like to ask Giving USA about churches. Una, you said you're basing it on 990s, but churches aren't required to churches and religiously affiliated nonprofits aren't required to submit 990s. They're exempt. So are you missing that, or how are you capturing it if you're not getting it through 990s?
Very good. So the baseline estimate for religious giving in Giving USA is based on a tabulation of giving to the religion subsector. It includes congregations, houses of worship, not 990s. And once we develop that initial estimate, we have calculated the rates of change by working in partnership with religious entities such as the Evangelical Council on Financial Accountability, and that rate of change is what we apply to the base amount of giving to all types of religious organizations, including non-Christian houses of worship, which is a nice segue into the blogger's question. I just wanted to mention that Giving USA does in fact take into account non-itemizer giving.
Okay, I'm going to stop you there.
Diverse populations, including a growing number of immigrants and minorities in our community.
We have to cut off Una. That's not fair. You're transgressing again, Una, because I said we're not going to answer that, and now you know, because it's not fair, because I'm not. We don't have time to give Rob a way to answer Tony Macklin's concern. I'm just letting listeners know that he has those concerns. All right, we can raise Una's mic. Una, I'm sorry to do that to you, but I'm trying to be fair here. You know, you're the researcher. You've transgressed twice. I got my eye on you. You see what happens? The academics. You see what the academics throw? Because you're used to standing in front of a class, but you can't have your own way here.
I gotta be
the cafeteria cop in this food fight. All right. I apologize for doing that, but it was the only way I could get your attention, Una. Okay. Let's talk about the timing that these come out. Rob, the Atlas of Giving comes out in January. Giving USA comes out in June. I would think, I'm going to get this to the Atlas of Giving folks, because I would think that puts you at a disadvantage, because if nonprofits are trying to develop a fundraising plan for a year, how can they do that if they have to wait until June of that year, of the calendar year, to see your results? And I got to caution you, we only have about 2 minutes left in the show.
Okay, I do think this goes back to our theme of reliability, the trade-off between reliability and accuracy and speed. Final government data are not available until later on in the year for the previous year or even for the current period. And also, the process, the IRS numbers only become available in the spring of the current year as well. And those are preliminary IRS numbers. So we're back to the question of speed versus accuracy and the trade-off between
but,
the two.
But with, what is a, but Una, wait, but I'm gonna, but what is a nonprofit to do if they don't get your numbers until June?
Right. So we do think that the June numbers provide a context for giving. And in fact, they are reliable. As we said, we've validated and verified that data. The monthly data available in January, with all due respect to Atlas of Giving, is that it's not even possible to validate and verify that number. And I do have to question why someone would have to actually buy a product in terms of data to figure out whether it's reliable.
Okay, Una, we're going to stop there.
It calms
Rob,
down. Oh, sorry.
No, we have to stop there. Rob, you have about a minute.
Wow, that was a lot.
You have a minute.
Okay. I would just say that, you know, Fortune 500 companies, if they were waiting for a year and a half to have information, if Mattel was waiting for a year and a half to have information or a forecast of what, they know what's going to happen this November and December in sales. They have some kind of a forecast and they're banking on it because they have stockholders that are relying on it. So we're using that. Most of the Fortune 500 companies have sales forecasts that are using the same kind of technology that we use, and that's what we're about, velocity and trajectory of giving.
Okay.
Right.
We are going to we're going to leave it there because I have to wrap up and close the show. I am not sure that we resolved anything, but I do think that constructive conversation is always very helpful. Maybe it just comes down to culture. These are two very different organizations. I see Atlas of Giving as sort of young and upstartish and entrepreneurial and smaller and smart. I see Giving USA as also smart. Been around for decades, though. I'm not sure whether it's 40 or 50 years, but just grant me that. It's been several decades. They have a major institute behind them, and that's funded by a major foundation, the Lilly Foundation, based in a major industry, pharmaceuticals. So there, it may just come down to culture. Which culture do you prefer? I don't know. I want to thank my guests. Thank you very much, Greg Carlson, Una Oseli, and Rob Mitchell. Thanks to all three of you. Next week, an interview from BBCon, the Blackboard Conference, last October. I got so many great interviews there that I'm still airing them from October. Next week, it's going to be increase and engage web traffic. And also, Scott Kegler returns. He's our monthly tech contributor, the editor of Nonprofit Technology News. We're going to talk about making the move to the cloud. Rallybound and TBRC, they support Nonprofit Radio, make this show possible. Joe McGee and Yosef Rabinowitz, they're good people. Check them out, please. Rallybound.com and TBRC.com. Our creative producer is Claire Meyerhoff. Sam Leibowitz is our line producer. The show's social media is by Deborah Askenaze of Community Organizer 2.0. Special shout out to Deborah. Thank you so much for all the advance work on this little more complex and interesting show. Thank you, Deborah. The remote producer of Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio is John Federico of The New Rules. Also want to thank in the studio assistant producer Janice Taylor, timekeeper. Our music is by Scott Stein. Be with me next week for Nonprofit Radio, big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. Go out and be great.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you stuck in your business or career? Trying to take your business to the next level and it keeps hitting a wall? This is Sam Leibowitz, the Conscious Consultant. I will help you get to the root cause of your abundance issues and help move you forward in your life. Call me now and let's create the future you dream of. 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. The Conscious Consultant, helping conscious people be better business people.
Hi, I'm Austin Marola.
And I'm Sloan Wainwright.
We're the hosts of the new Thursday morning show, The Music Power,
Power Hour.
At 11 a.m.
We're going to have fun.
And shine the light on all aspects of music.
And its limitless healing possibilities.
We're going to invite artists to share their songs and play live.
We'll be listening and talking about great music from yesterday to today.
So you're invited to share in our musical conversation.
Your ears will be delighted with the sound of music.
And our voices. Join Austin.
And Sloan.
Live Thursdays at 11 a.m. on TalkingAlternative.com.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day. Talking Alternative.
Have you ever considered consulting a roadmap when you feel you need help getting to your destination? When the normal path seems blocked, a little help can come in handy when choosing an alternate route. Your natal chart is a map of your potentials. It addresses relationships, finance, business, health, and above all, creativity. Current planetary cycles can either support or challenge your objectives. I'm Montgomery Taylor. If you would like to explore the help of a private astrological reading, please contact me at Monty@MontyTaylor.com. That's Monty, M-O-N-T-Y, at MontyTaylor.com.
Are you suffering from aches and pains? Has traditional medicine let you down? Are you tired of taking toxic medications? Then come to the Double Diamond Wellness Center and learn how our natural methods can help you to heal. Call us now at 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. Or find us on the web at www.doublediamondwellness.com. We look forward to serving you.
TalkingAlternative.com.